Nothing makes sense. The technology we're seeing today is truly wonderful, truly demonic. And certainly these things were anticipated 2,000 years ago. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Nick Bryant. And we're going to be talking about a great book that we're carrying of his called The Franklin Scandal. The Franklin Scandal, and of course, basically it goes into an incredible story that has been carefully suppressed here in the United States. Now, certainly we've heard a lot about, of course, the scandal, the pedophile scandal involving the Catholic Church. But the reason that you're hearing about that, believe me, it would be totally covered up if they didn't want you to hear about it. Certainly it's been known for many, many years, been known for 30 or 40 years, that many of the Catholic priests and people in very high positions in the Catholic Church were involved in pedophilia and other aberrations, but this was covered up by the media. Only recently are they bringing this out because they, of course, want to destroy the faith of the Catholic faithful in this country. And certainly they're doing a very, very good job. A lot of people are very, very confused about what they believe in and how could Christianity embrace pedophilia. Well, there's another even more incredible story, and that's what we're going to be talking about pedophile spy rings. And I said pedophile rings. There are two of them. One is the Finders, and the other is the Franklin Scandal. And certainly you're going to be a little confused. I just want to mention that because when Nick gets into the background of this, don't confuse the Franklin with the Finders. They both start with an F, but they're totally separate. And yet they're two pedophile rings operating at the highest level of our government with the full support of key people in key places who are keeping this information, first of all, keeping it so that people involved are not being prosecuted, because of course these pedophile rings go right into the highest levels of our government. But secondly, they don't want the American people to understand what is really going on and really the degree of evil that's out there. Well, Nick has done a great job of putting together this information, so I'm going to let him tell you about the Franklin Scandal. Nick, how did you get involved in this?
Well, Dr. Stan, I've been an advocate for children for a number of years. I've written quite a bit about children's issues, and in 1995 I published a book, co-authored a book on the impediments facing lower socioeconomic children. So children's issues have been very sensitive to me. And when I got wind that there was a large pedophile network operating in the United States and being covered up by a subgenus of corrupt federal law enforcement, at first I didn't believe it, because no one wants to believe that the federal government or a corrupt subgenus of the federal government is aiding and abetting child trafficking. I mean, no one wants to believe that. And And to tell you the truth, I didn't want to believe it. I didn't believe it, and I didn't want to believe it.
But, of course, I think we have to separate from the federal government from this other component. It's like we have two governments. We have a government made up of a lot of good people. Oh, you're just doing a job. But there seems to be this other invisible or suppressed or dark side of government that is involved in these things. And I would just simply point out that Nick has written a wonderful book, and but he could not get this printed through regular channels. Fortunately, a trying day has put the book out, and we are carrying it. But there's an organized effort, even with an excellent book like this, to keep the information from getting to the American people. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, Dr. Stan, I spent 7 years on this book. Once I realized it was a reality, I spent 7 years on it, and I traveled 40,000 miles, and I acquired an entire sealed grand jury's, or entire grand jury's worth of sealed documentation. And so the amount of evidence and corroboration that I had was pretty mind-boggling. And
well, hold that thought for just a moment. We'll be right back here with Nick Bryant. But even with all of this documentation, there's no question it's real. Why you're not going to see this on 60 Minutes. Go right ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
What surprised me about this was I thought, and I understood that people would be skeptical of this story. I mean, I understood that because I'm accusing the federal government, or as I said, a corrupt subgenus of the federal government, of aiding and abetting child trafficking. And I understood that publishers in New York City, which is where I live, would be very skeptical of this story. So I put together a bulletproof case. I mean, I found victim after victim after victim. I acquired the Ring's flight receipts. I showed that they had a house in Washington, D.C. that was wired for audiovisual blackmail, where power brokers would be compromised and blackmailed. I showed how corrupt one of the grand juries was. I mean, I had the testimony of one of the grand juries, and I showed exactly how it was hijacked. So I really felt that if I brought this to publishers, that they would see that it was just so evil that they would want to do something about it. I mean, I really felt like, although it was a bizarre story and an implausible story and a story that creates a tremendous amount of cognitive dissonance, I really felt that publishers would see that all these kids had been destroyed. I had a list of 60 victims. And there were a lot more victims. I mean, this pedophile network was in operation for about 10 years. So there were a lot more victims than 60, but I had a list of like 60 of them. And I got a bunch of them to talk, and I just felt like ethos and morality would win the day with these publishers. But no, I mean, not a single major publisher based in New York City would touch this book.
And I'm sure that must have been very discouraging to you after all the hard work you've done and all the documentation, and certainly at a certain amount of risk to yourself and your personal safety, wasn't there?
I had one death threat early on, and then after that death threat, I had my I had a rental car. I was pulled over by the Nebraska State Patrol. This pedophile network was centered in Omaha, Nebraska. Most of the kids came from the Nebraska area, Omaha, Nebraska area, and the Nebraska law enforcement took a real keen interest in me. And there's been various types of harassment over the years. But I endured it because I feel that in America, children shouldn't be abused with impunity. I mean, I just feel that that should be part of the American ethos. And so I was really shocked and really disheartened when every major publisher in New York City passed on the book. And there's probably only one publisher in the United States that would have touched this manuscript. And that was Trine Day in Oregon.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Chris Nick worked on this for 7 years. He had a death threat. He was harassed by the Highway Patrol in Nebraska. The last thing they wanted was for this story to get out. Not one major publisher in New York would actually publish this, and Nick had an agent, and he got this to him. All the major publishers, none of them would. Now, we do have the book. It's a hardbound book, very well done, very well documented, but this is the sort of story They do not want the American people to realize and to understand, because this goes to the highest levels of the government, certainly in the state of Nebraska. It goes into Boys Town. Oh, my goodness, we all know Boys Town, a wonderful, you know, place for boy orphans. You've probably all seen that story. I remember growing up, and I remember the motion picture was put out with this boy carrying a small boy on his back. Said, oh, he isn't having a father, he's my brother. And, these ideas of helping children really so pulls on the heartstrings of the average American. But the last thing they really want you to know is the degree of evil that exists in our society today. So you go ahead and pick up the story, Nick.
Well, what I found very troubling was the complete apathy that people in the publishing industry had for the book. And I really felt like I was a David versus a Goliath. And actually, I still do feel like a David versus a Goliath, because not only was it the government that covered up this pedophile network, but it was the major media. And I'm talking CBS, I'm talking the New York Times, I'm talking the Washington Post, I'm talking GQ Magazine. They came down. And they went with law enforcement. They didn't investigate what really went on here. They just went with what law enforcement said. And law enforcement's conclusion, both state and federal law enforcement, that there wasn't a single child abused. And so the media is a co-conspirator here, along with this corrupt subgenus of the government, as far as the American people never hearing about this. And the media is still trying to keep this story suppressed, even though I've got a 600-page book. And some of the documents that I've collected are just so mind-boggling and so nefarious that we just felt like we had to throw like about 100 pages of documentation in the back of the book to show that these documents really do exist, that I'm not just gathering these facts out of ether, that these documents are real and they exist. They're affidavits, they're law enforcement reports, they're U.S. Customs reports. I mean, I've got a whole list of documents in the book that really show some of the more nefarious documents that really show the breathtaking reality of the story.
Well, it is an amazing book. You've done a great job with it. So why don't we go back and tell the people the story from the very beginning, how you found out about it, what really happened, who said what this had to do with the Franklin Savings and Loan, who Mr. Larry King was, and you take the story from there.
Well, how I got into this story was I came across a document, a U.S. Customs document, and in Tallahassee, in a Tallahassee park, a couple of concerned citizens witnessed six kids that were really really heavily abused, accompanied by two adult males, white males, who were really nicely dressed. And it just seemed like it was just like a odd situation. So these concerned citizens in Tallahassee called the police, and the Tallahassee police showed up, and the two white males wouldn't talk, and the kids didn't even know their names. They didn't know, they looked completely abused. They saw signs of child pornography in the van, so they just arrested the adults and then they put their children in protective custody. And the Tallahassee Police Department contacted the U.S. Customs, and because the U.S. Customs has a anti-child pornography unit, and so the U.S. Customs got involved. And then the D.C. police, because this cult, it was called the Finders, these two guys were from the Finders, the D.C. police got involved because they had an informant say that the Finders were responsible for an unsolved homicide and also having orgies with children. So the D.C. police had been eyeing the Finders for a while. And the D.C. police said that the U.S. Customs report was enough for them to get a search warrant. So ultimately, the D.C. police and the U.S. Customs served a search warrant on these warehouses that the Finders owned. And they came across a cache of child pornography. They came across documents of the Finders buying children. I mean, of kidnapping children. I mean, it was just the stuff that they impounded from the search warrant from the Finders warehouse was just unbelievable stuff. And So, and then the FBI got involved. So ultimately, you've got four law enforcement entities investigating the finders. You've got the FBI, you've got the U.S. Customs, you've got the D.C. police, and then you've got the Tallahassee police. And then the CIA came in, and they quashed everything. They quashed everything. The two finders were being held on multiple charges of child abuse, and they were just let out of prison. Their bail, they were on $100,000 bail. They were just let out without a penny being put up. All the charges were dropped, and then the children were given back to the cult. And some people, some authorities said that the child or one of the children showed definitely signs of sexual abuse. So I was thinking to myself, why is the CIA quashing an investigation into a cult that is doing very unsavory things to children? So that document, I mean, and that's in my book, the entire document, where the last line of the report is the CIA has stepped in and there'll be no more investigation, there'll be no more further action. I mean, that just blew me away.
And I think this is really what's so important. The Central Intelligence Agency just came in and said, forget the whole thing, let these criminals go, give the children back to them so they can continue being molested. And people would say, why would the CIA do that? This doesn't make any sense. Now, I've heard this story several times from other sources. I'm convinced it's accurate, and certainly you'll find the documentation in the back of the book here. This is the actual report that came from the Customs Service on the finders. Now, Chris, don't confuse the finders with Franklin, but now at least Nick has established that there is this pedophile ring, and they're being covered for, somehow or other being covered for, by the CIA. So pick the story up from there, Nick.
Well, that finders document just opened my mind to a whole new panorama of government corruption. As I said earlier, I've done a lot of, I've written a lot on children's issues. And I thought to myself, why would the CIA come to the rescue of a cult that was reportedly abusing and trafficking children? Why would the CIA do that? I mean, but that opened up my mind. I mean, that said, well, you know, if it happened there, I mean, could it have happened? I'd heard murmurs of it happening in Nebraska, too. So that's where I started digging, was in Nebraska. And what happened in Nebraska, there was a savings and loan that got busted out for about $40 million. It was looted for about $40 million. And it was run by a Republican power broker named Lawrence King. He sang the national anthem at the 1984 Republican convention, and he had close contacts in the Reagan administration and also in the Bush administration. And he busted out this savings loan for $40 million. Now, some Nebraska state senators formed a subcommittee to look at the looted savings and loan. They knew nothing about any other activities of King's, but there had been some savings and loans that had been busted out in Nebraska throughout the 80s. So this was in 1988, and the subcommittee formed. And shortly after the subcommittee formed, a bunch of social services personnel came to them, and they said, you know, the financial crimes are only half the story here. Credit union was fronting for a nationwide pedophile network. The social service agencies in Nebraska had collected just a massive amount of documentation about Lawrence King flying kids around the country and pandering them to the rich and the powerful. Now, social services had gone to both state and federal law enforcement, and they were just simply ignored. They were just simply ignored. And so finally, the subcommittee had got access to the social services documents, and then they started investigating the child abuse. And that's when the story really heats up, because had that subcommittee not formed, there wouldn't have been any investigation whatsoever into the activities of Lawrence King.
In other words, basically, there were some very powerful people within law enforcement who did not want this information to come out. Would that be a fair statement?
There were people in, there were people in federal law enforcement and also in state law enforcement that did not want this information to come out, and they simply ignored these social services personnel. And these social services personnel were just besides themselves, because they knew that they had documentation that there was this nationwide pedophile network, that kids were being flown around, Boys Town kids were being flown around other kids were being flown around and they were being pandered to rich and the rich and the powerful. So this subcommittee started investigating this pedophile network, and ultimately the subcommittee got six victims to come forward. The victims that came forward were just really, really harassed by the FBI. But six victims did summon the courage, the gumption, the temerity to come forward and give statements to the subcommittee. And the subcommittee had an amazing investigator. His name was Gary Caradori. And he started finding victims. But then the FBI started tapping his phones. And there's plenty of documentation in my book about the FBI tapping people's phones throughout this entire investigation of the state senators and of their investigator. So their investigator started finding children, and then all of a sudden the feds decided that they needed to do something. The state decided they needed to do something to quash this thing. So a grand jury was formed.
And, of course, the grand jury was formed not to get the truth, but to conceal the truth. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes. There were actually two grand juries in Nebraska that were formed to completely cover up the truth.
And, of course, when you control the grand jury, you can control what they hear. You can control the testimony. And we're going to be back in just a moment with Nick Bryant. This is an amazing story, ladies and gentlemen. It's a disheartening story, but people have to understand what we're really up against. Nick, go right ahead.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Grand juries were designed not to reveal the truth, but to conceal the truth. And, of course, there were six children who came forward and talked about their abuse. But instead of course, indicting the perpetrators, why, of course, they indicted the children for daring to tell the truth. They indicted them for perjury. One little girl of 14, 15 years old was threatened with 300 years in prison for telling the truth.
She was 21 years old at that time.
She was 21. Whatever happened to her?
Well, she was tried on 8 counts of perjury by a kangaroo court, and she was ultimately sentenced to between 9 and 15 years in prison. I mean, a girl, for perjury, sentenced to between 9 and 15 years for prison because she wouldn't recant her story. And she spent 2 years in solitary confinement. And the reason why they gave her so much time, because all the kids were told, if you go on with this story, you're going to prison for perjury. So they had to make an example of her. And that sent a resounding signal to other victims who might come forward. If you come forward, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to spend a lot of years in prison. And this girl's 17-year-old brother died under very mysterious circumstances. According to law enforcement, he hung himself. But if you read my book, you'll see that I bring in documentation that shows that he most likely did not hang himself. There was another victim who recanted, but he was having a real hard time with his conscience. And his brother supposedly shot himself in the head playing Russian roulette. Now, the state, the subcommittee's chief investigator, his plane mysteriously broke up over Lee County, Illinois, and he was killed and his son was killed. So, and he was about to break this case wide open. I've got a lot of corroboration that he managed to score some pictures of these pedophilic orgies in Chicago, and he was flying back to Nebraska, and his plane mysteriously broke up. There's my book is a veritable necropolis. I mean, there's every chapter there's two or three people that die mysteriously or commit suicide. But you really wouldn't understand this story unless you understood the D.C. side of it. You wouldn't understand what happened in Nebraska with the two grand juries and the girl getting 9 to 15 years for perjury, unless you really understood the D.C. component of this.
Well, how many years did she actually spend in prison?
She spent, she got out, she was found guilty in 1991, and she got out of prison in 2000.
In other words, don't dare tell the truth, because if you do, they're going to get you.
And she's never recanted her version of events, and, you know, the irony of that is, she has graduated from college summa cum laude. She is happily married, and she's a very successful in her own business. So she really, there's something, she has some kind of fortitude that she found, that is just kind of mind-boggling. Whereas the other kids that recanted, they're drug addicts, some of them are dead, and a lot of the kids that didn't come forward who I eventually found are drug addicts or felons or in prison. So there is some poetic justice with this, that this girl who didn't recant, who got 9 to 15 years for perjury, ultimately fared much better than any other of the victims.
And ladies and gentlemen, you say what this couldn't go on in America. And I would say not in our America, but there is another America that people really don't understand. And this sort of thing does go on. We've heard it from many, many sources. So basically, of course, you've got some of these children, you track them down, and of course you try to get this information. There were two grand juries. Both of them were set up not to reveal, but to conceal the truth. And then there was one of the people there on the Senate committee in Nebraska, John DeCamp. Did you ever have a chance to meet John? Because he's been a great...
John helped me out quite a bit. He was the first guy to start blowing the whistle on this story, and I kind of followed in his footsteps in the respect that I wrote about it. My book is... I spent 7 years, and I had access to a lot of documentation that John never had access to. So my book is, I believe, much more comprehensive than his book, but he was like the first one to start blowing the whistle on this pedophile network.
And of course, they threatened to kill his children. He was actually, of course, forced to leave his regular law practice. He lives in a little town with a couple of hundred people out in the middle of Nebraska. Really sort of a recluse, this is how he has to make his living. He can't certainly do what he's done before. This is what happens when you try to break the truth out, because, of course, you'll find that there's some of the most powerful men in America are involved in this whole pedophile network. And certainly, well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Nick Bryant as we explore the story of the Franklin scandal. Because it went not only to Washington, D.C., it went into the White House itself. And we'll be back in just a moment as we explore more of this incredible story. And the fact you haven't ever heard of this before simply is a reflection of the degree of control that today exists over what the American people think. All right, Nick, you go right ahead.
Well, the thing about the Nebraska and all the corruption that went on in Nebraska with the Department of Justice and the FBI, you can't really understand that until you understand the D.C. component of Franklin. And I acquired, through the sealed grand jury documentation, I acquired about 200 flight receipts of Lawrence King. And none of the flight receipts have a passenger manifest. They just have King plus three or King plus four. Occasionally there's another name. But King was flying kids from the East Coast to the West Coast. But the vast majority of the kids were flown to Washington, D.C.
Well, basically, was this information you got from the grand juries, the two grand juries that you were referring to?
Yes, okay. I got the flight receipts were part of the sealed grand jury documentation. And in Washington, D.C., there was another Republican power broker. His name was Craig Spence. He ran the pedophile network with Lawrence King. And Craig Spence had a very nice Victorian house in a very upscale part of Washington, D.C. And senators, congressmen, high-ranking people in the Reagan and Bush administrations, everybody went to parties at Craig Spence's house. William Casey was the head of the CIA, was fond of going to parties at his house, as were other high-ranking members of the CIA and generals, high-ranking members of all the military. Everybody attended Spence's parties. And what they didn't know, or I suspect what most didn't know, is that Craig Spence's house was wired for audio-visual blackmail. A lot of the parties that went down in Craig Spence's house and people that partook of the drugs and the illicit sex, their crimes were captured on video and also in photographic evidence and also audio evidence.
Whatever happened to Craig Spence?
Well, Craig Spence is just another one of the bodies that littered the Franklin scandal. He was found dead in Boston when this started to break, and he supposedly committed suicide. It's on the record that he committed suicide. He's just one of many in my book that that ultimately commit suicide. And what happened with the Washington Times started writing exposés about Spence's blackmail operation and about politicians that were going to Spence's parties and how they would be blackmailed. and that Spence was giving midnight tours of the White House. Craig Spence was actually taking...
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Nick Bryant, and we're talking about his book, The Franklin Scandal. And we do carry the book. It is available for Radio Liberty. But do you have a website where people can get more information?
Yes, they can go to my website, www.franklinscandal.com. Franklinscandal.com. One word, franklinscandal.com.
All right, fine.
And
go ahead.
And there's plenty of information, and you can also order the book there. And I've got a trailer of a documentary that I'm putting together on the front page. And also, I've got a copy. There was Yorkshire Television of the UK made a documentary about this that was never shown. The Discovery Channel quashed it. But I've got a recording or a copy of Conspiracy of Silence, which was the documentary that was made about this. That's never been seen. There has been a copy of Conspiracy of Silence that's bounced around the Internet for a number of years. But my copy is very pristine and it has scenes that have never been seen before. So your listeners can go to my website and they can check out both my movie trailer and also Conspiracy of Silence.
And they can actually see this DVD up there on your website, the one that was actually... what happened? Didn't the Discovery Channel put, or History Channel put out a great deal of money to produce it, and then somebody put pressure on them to keep it from being shown? Is that what happened?
Well, there's different accounts. The I talked to both the director and the producer of Conspiracy of Silence, and they said that an executive at the Discovery Channel pulled the plug on it. Now, I don't know what happened upstream from that, if there was some kind of political pressure put on it, and they weren't sure either. So I don't know about the kind of political pressure that might have happened upstream. All as I know is that a Discovery Channel executive just pulled the plug on it and said, we're not going to show this. And it's been hidden away ever since. But you can see a very pristine copy of it on my website. www.franklinscandal.com.
Well, I'm sure they wanted all the copies of that destroyed, but I'm glad you got a copy of it.
I'm very glad I got a copy of it, too. And it's quite a... They weren't able to finish the documentary, but it's a very good documentary, despite it's a rough cut. But it's a good documentary, and it's very edifying. It's not as edifying as my book, but it gives some audiovisual corroboration to my book and to a very implausible, bizarre story. But I want to talk a little bit more about Washington, D.C., because in Washington, D.C., this thing was starting to erupt, too. I mean, there was the Washington Times were writing articles about Craig Spence's activities and about these politicians getting blackmailed. And Lawrence King's name had come up, too. As King and Spence being pedophilic partners. And Spence was also spending $20,000 a month on escorts, male and female escorts, because this pedophile network or this ring didn't just pander children. They pandered whatever you wanted. I mean, if you wanted a child, they'd give you a child. But if you wanted a young man in his 20s or a young woman in his 20s, they would give you a young woman or a young man in his or her 20s, too. Whatever you wanted, if you wanted coke, they'd provide you with coke. And how these parties went down, they generally start out as like a straight political type party where there'd be senators and congressmen and people from the administration. And it would be like your average cocktail party in Washington, D.C., where people of power would be getting lubricated with alcohol. And then about 10:30, 11, maybe 11:30, someone would fire up a joint or break out some coke, or there would be some kind of inappropriate sexual activity go down. And the people that were kind of leery of that would split, but the people that wanted to stick around would be provided with whatever they wanted. And we're talking about senators and congressmen and upper echelon of both the Reagan and Bush administrations. So, and then those who stuck around, the serious customers, they would be compromised. They would get pictures taken of them taking part in this illicit enterprise. And this is, I mean, sexual blackmail is something that is age old. And the power elite appetite for pedophilic or pedophilic sadism is age old. But videotape is relatively new. And these politicians that stuck around for the girls or the boys and the drugs, I mean, they'd be blackmailed. So our whole political system is corrupt because of that. And that's why there was those two grand juries in Nebraska that had to be co-opted. That's why the girl who wouldn't recant, who was indicted when she was 21 years old, had to get 9 to 15 years. That's why there were so many dead people, is because this story shows that a sizable section of our politicians and of people of power are compromised. And that was something that couldn't be let out, that was a cat that could not be let out of the bag for the American public, especially if the American public knew that even children were used to compromise these power brokers. I mean, it would have hit the fan. So this had to be covered up. And there was a grand jury in Washington, D.C. that also covered this up. And so ultimately, you're talking about three grand juries that were co-opted to cover this up. And it's kind of interesting. In Nebraska, you had the Department of Justice and the FBI doing all the dirty work. But in D.C., you had the Department of Justice and the Secret Service doing all the dirty work. I mean, the Secret Service was kicking down doors and holding guns to people's heads to keep this thing covered up and to get people to keep their mouths shut. I mean, the Secret Service was very malicious when they were covering up Franklin in Washington, D.C. And they had to be, because had this thing erupted and hit the news, a lot of politicians would have went down. Maybe our whole political system would have been just in turmoil. And the people at the top, at the pinnacle of power, realized that under no circumstances could the toothpaste come out of the tube here. And the Nebraska senators almost got the toothpaste out of the tube. And the Washington Times worked very hard to get the toothpaste out of the tube. And a little toothpaste did get out of the tube, but it had to be put back in under any means necessary. And that's ultimately what happened. Is you had Craig Spence's mysterious death, suicide, around the time of the Washington D.C. grand jury. And, now the gentleman that was providing Craig Spence with hookers, where Craig Spence was spending $20,000 a month on hookers, he talked to me. He's never talked before. And, he told me about the machinations of Spence's activities. Now Craig Spence said that he was a CIA asset and that the blackmail equipment in his house had been installed by a quote-unquote friendly intelligence agency. And the Washington Times found sources that Craig Spence was a CIA asset. And the gentleman who ran the escort service, where Spence spent $20,000 a month on escorts, he was privy to all of Spence's activities, and he said that Spence told him that he was CIA and that the blackmail equipment had been installed by people in the CIA. So, like with the Finders, and this is kind of where we're joining up the Finders and Franklin, you have the CIA in the background, and then you've got the abuse of children. And now the CIA, it's against their mandate to do anything domestically. So, although they were the wizard behind the screen, I believe, in Franklin, they had their fingerprints all over the Finders. So it's really, when you think about it, you've got the CIA, you've got the Department of Justice, you've got the FBI, and you've got the Secret Service covering up child abuse, basically aiding and abetting child abuse. I mean, that's a mind-boggling story. And I really don't expect your listeners to take me at face value. What you need to do is read my book. And in my book, I really do prove it.
I'm sure you do. And then, of course, go to Nick's website and actually see this DVD that was actually suppressed. And you'll actually meet a lot of the people he talks about. I mean, people there, some of the, there's one of the young boys that said he was abused for many years, and the pictures of him. It really helps, of course, to be able to see who these people are that you write about.
Yes, if you go to my website and watch The Conspiracy of Silence, that'll give you Conspiracy of Silence doesn't go into the depth that my book does, but as I said, it gives some audiovisual corroboration to a very implausible story.
And
it's a very shocking documentary.
It is, and it's a very shocking book. And ladies and gentlemen, we don't like to hear about this. We don't like to hear there isn't a tooth fairy. We don't like to hear that there isn't any Santa Claus. We don't like to hear that there is a dark side of our government that is covering up crimes which are so horrible they're almost beyond the ability of the human mind to fathom. But this is the reality of what's really going on, and we have to face it, and we have to stand against it. And this is certainly what Nick has done at a great risk to himself, because there are an awful lot of people who have been involved in this who have, died under very mysterious circumstances. Go right ahead, Nick.
Well, it's I've taken a lot of heat to get this story out. I've suffered a lot of financial setbacks, for sure. But I would do it again tomorrow. As difficult as this story was, I would do it again tomorrow. I'm kind of an optimist, and once I realized that this was a reality, I thought it would take me about 3 years. And I thought if I put together the sufficient corroboration, I knew the bar was going to be very, very high on this. And then I'd have to put together like an airtight, libel-proof case and really prove it in a book. And I felt if I did that, that people would publish it. And because I'm an optimist, I thought it would take 3 years, and it actually took 7 years. I thought I'd have to travel about 20,000 miles, and I actually had to travel about 40,000 miles. But I ultimately did put the book together, and I make an irrefutable case for the existence of Franklin. And what I basically do in my book is I diagnose a disease. Whenever the government is aiding and abetting child trafficking, that is a disease. Whenever politicians are being compromised, sexually compromised, and are voting against the body politic or Americans' best interests, that's a disease too. So in the Franklin scandal, I diagnose a disease in our society. And you cannot treat a disease unless it's diagnosed. So in my book, I provide a definitive diagnosis. And what we do, we need as many people to read that book as we possibly can so they can see, so they can look at my diagnosis. And then at that point, we can go to work. When enough people read the diagnosis and see the diagnosis, we can, en masse, cut out the tumor, because there is a huge tumor at the center of our government. And the only way that we're going to be able to excise this tumor or ablate this tumor is that to raise people's awareness. And my book should do that if people read it.
Well, I think it's really a very important book. What is it, almost 700 pages, isn't it?
It's 600 and some pages, but like I said, like about 100 pages are just straight documents that I used for the book, although I used a lot more than just 100. I had probably at least 100,000 pages worth of documentation that I drew from to write the book. But some of the most scandalous documents we threw in the book just because we felt like the Finders document and some of the other documents about, like, the FBI, we felt like we just had to throw those documents in their entirety in the book as basically PDF files, just to show people that these documents do exist and that I wasn't conjuring these facts up out of the ether.
Well, I think it's important to realize that when you work for the government, you have to be part of the cover-up. If you come forward and tell the truth, you'll lose your job, and of course you could be sent to prison if you were ever to release classified information. You would lose your pension, you'd lose everything, and so an awful lot of people, good people in the government, just keep their mouths shut and go along to get along. That's the easiest thing to do. Go ahead.
What's really troubling is that you can see that the people that aided and abetted this cover-up really just ascended the judiciary. There was a U.S. magistrate that helped cover this up. He is now a U.S. District Court judge. There was an assistant U.S. attorney that helped cover this up. He is now a U.S. magistrate. And Omaha is in Douglas County, and there were two Douglas County deputy prosecutors that helped prosecuted this girl that got 9 to 15 years. One is now an assistant U.S. attorney, and one is now a Douglas County District Court judge. So you see the upper mobility. And then also in Washington, D.C., the people that took part in the cover-up, you see upper mobility there, too.
And so if you go along and you conceal the truth, why, you'll be promoted. And if you tell the truth, why, they will come after you. And they really do. And we've seen this, and whether it be what happened to Waco or the prosecutor there, Waco actually tried to get the truth out after he had succeeded in sending some of these people to jail. For 40 years, he realized it was wrong. He tried to bring the truth out. And they got his license. They were going to send him to prison. Why? Because he was an attorney, assistant attorney general, trying to get the truth out, federal prosecuting attorney. So understand, ladies and gentlemen, these are the stories you're never going to hear under ordinary circumstances. But I would congratulate Nick for an excellent book. It's well written, well documented. And, of course, it's a story that we need to get out. The American people need to understand what is really going on today. In fact, we're going to bring copies of the book with us when we go to the conspiracy conference here in June. We think it's the sort of book that people need to get, they need to read, but they need to help us get the truth out. And let me suggest once again Nick Bryant's website, and then, of course, you can actually see the DVD. Once again, the title of it?
Is... Well, the documentary that was made by Yorkshire Television to be shown on the Discovery Channel is Conspiracy of Silence. And the documentary that I'm putting together is called The Carefully Crafted Hoax.
And when will that be available?
We're working on, we've got about 100 hours of footage, and we're just trying to raise funds so we can finish it up at this point.
All right, Tom. Well, I think it's so important because DVDs certainly are something that people will watch today. And when well done, of course, they can have an impact on the watcher. They certainly, if you know how to utilize audiovisual, why, of course, it can have, sometimes it's much easier than reading a book. Now, I think we need to read books. I think this book is vitally important. Unfortunately, we've sort of dumbed down people to the point where they don't like to read. They'd much rather watch something, so I'm so glad that you're putting together the DVD. When do you think you'll have it finished?
Hopefully we'll have it in the film festivals relatively soon.
All right, fine. Well, certainly we're running out of time. I'm not going to take any calls. But Sid Nick is going to be with us again. We've already had him on once. We're going to have him on for our morning program as well. But I think this people must really understand that this is not make-believe. This is not a Hollywood story. This is a very important story. Not one of the major publishers in New York City would even think about touching this book, and certainly we know that many of the publishers back there would like to get the information out, but they're not allowed to. There are people, we've been told personally, that there are people working there to limit access to information. Lieutenant General William Odom actually was the head of NSA. He was Lieutenant General of the military. He wrote a book called Fixing Intelligence. He couldn't tell the American people what's really going on, but he could ask questions. One of them was, should the CIA have journalists planted within the media? Should the CIA have a journalist planted in the media? And, of course, what he probably should have asked is, should they have CIA agents planted in the publishing houses across America to censor and control what the American people think? We'll be back here in just a moment with Nick Bryant. Well, Nick, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Well, I'd just like to thank you for having me on your show, Dr. Stan.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake. But a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
The book, The Satanic Crimes, goes into the pedophile ring associated with the Bilderbergers. It goes into the Great White March, and it was in Belgium some years ago, where over 350,000 people in the little country of Belgium, all dressed in white, demonstrated against the pedophile network within the Bilderbergers and the cover-up by the Belgian government. We have a four-tape set on satanic crimes. We have the book on satanic crimes. We have the book, The Franklin Scandal, all going into the pedophile networks at the highest level of government. And people say, those things couldn't really go on. Well, certainly I've talked to John DeCamp, who is the Nebraska senator. They threatened the lives of his children, threatened his life if he dared to continue. And in his book, he mentions some of the most powerful people in America, some of the richest people in America, being part of the pedophile network. But, of course, you'll never hear this mentioned. And he's never been sued. They certainly wouldn't want to rock the boat and have this information become public. So certainly you'll be fascinating if you read the book, The Franklin Scandal. We recommend it for you. This is not a nice subject. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're up against organized evil. And until people realize that, nothing makes sense. Doesn't make sense they're going to take us into a war with Iran. Doesn't make sense they're going to destroy the economy of our country and destroy the value of the savings of the people. Doesn't make sense we're doing everything we can to build up the economy and the manufacturing capacity of communist China. And one day we're going to go to war with China as well. None of these things make sense. Any more than the fact that back in 1949, it was the United States State Department that churned China over to the communists and actually undercut the nationalist Chinese and brought the communists to power. Any more than it makes sense that we would have financed the Russians during the Vietnam War, the Russians financed the North Vietnamese financed the Viet Cong, and the Viet Cong killed American boys, but then today we're financing the Pakistani government that's financing the Pakistani ISI military intelligence that's financing the Taliban and Al-Qaeda over there in Iraq and Afghanistan that are killing American boys. So much of what's going on doesn't make sense unless you understand what we're really up against, and that's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Brotherhood of Darkness and the other items, the Franklin Scandal, Satanic Crimes are the four tapes, four CD set on that subject, and the Brotherhood of Darkness available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You may not think that this could be, but you have an obligation to find out if it's true. The documentation is there. That's an excellent DVD that is up on Nick Bryant's website, and you'll certainly want to get that, Conspiracy of Silence. And that's what it's really all about, ladies and gentlemen. There really is a conspiracy of silence, and the last thing they want is for the American people to find out until it is too late. Till you understand that there is a worldwide satanic conspiracy, and many of our leaders have embraced that, and many of the richest people in the world have their wealth because they've embraced the dark side. If you haven't heard my talk on the forbidden secret or the secret, you need to get it. If you haven't heard my talk on the planned population reduction, you need to get it along with the DVD. I want to remind you, of course, we're going to have an all-day conference here at the Radio Liberty Conference on the 17th of October. On the 5th and 6th of June, there's a conspiracy conference in the Marriott Hotel in Santa Clara. The number to call, 925-449-6844. That's 925-449-6844.